This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War. Welcome to the Invisible War radio broadcast. Today, we're talking about the power of prayer. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. This is Kevin Harris. Today, our host and teacher of the Invisible War, Dr. Rob Randall, will discuss the power of prayer. And I want to remind everyone that Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare is taken from his book, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy, published by 21st Century Press. And you can get your copy of this most valuable Bible study on spiritual warfare by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or you can order your copy at most any bookstore near you. Dr. Randall, good to see you again today. And everyone, people of all different faiths, religions, are interested in prayer. This is a very important topic, I would say, as we study what the Bible has to say about prayer.
Kevin, it's so good to see you. And what a wonderful day. What a privilege it is for me to share with our listeners the eternal matters of heaven. You know, prayer is hard work. It takes time. And effective prayer only comes to the heart of one who has humbled himself before God. And you know, Kevin, none of us are very good at humility.
Isn't that the truth?
But without humility, we can't even approach the throne room of heaven. God resists the proud. But he gives his grace, his gifts, to the humble. Jesus Christ is our link to the throne room of heaven. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. And prayer is the communication that has been given to every believer that when offered through a broken, humbled, and righteous life, can cause the very purposes of heaven to be seen on the earth.
You know, Dr. Randall, someone listening might say, I wish I could believe that. Or maybe they would say, I used to believe that prayer really mattered, but now I'm not sure I believe that anymore. What would you say to them?
I would say, please open your heart today and listen to the Word of God as we study this critical matter of prayer. As I've stated, I believe the church has been given three power tools. These are supernatural tools. Weapons, if you please, to be used in battle against the powers of darkness. The power of the gospel of Christ, the preaching of the good news of Christ. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That all men everywhere, no matter what their condition, can now be saved through the sacrifice of Christ for their sin. The presentation of the gospel. The giving of Christ as a sacrifice for sin has great supernatural power. And of course, we have the power of praise. There is great power in the praise of God's people. And of course, we have the power of prayer. E.M. Bounds has given the church great spiritual insight into the practice and power of prayer. It was said of E.M. Bounds that no man since the time of the apostles left such a rich inheritance of research into the life of prayer. Bounds said that the prayers of God's saints are the capital stock in heaven by which Christ carries on his great work upon the earth. He said, the most important lesson we can learn is how to pray. Prayer puts God in full force in the world. To a prayerful church, God is present in glorious power. Prayer is God's settled and singular condition to move ahead His Son's kingdom.
What a great quote, Dr. Randall. And as in all matters of supernatural, we need to go to the Bible to see what it has to say about this issue. Prayer studies are done. Scientific studies have been done on prayer. But really, when we're talking about prayer, we need to go to the Bible first.
My father used to say that Jeremiah 33:3 was God's telephone number. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I'm probably the most blessed in all the earth. My father was an evangelist. He traveled 47 years holding over 1,100 crusades and revival meetings, from the county seats to the creek bottoms. I remember pitching the tents, hearing the men and women pray, crying out to God, watching folks gather together with the smell of sawdust in the air to hear the word from God and God's messenger. My father traveled as a teenager with an old cowboy evangelist by the name of B.B. Krim. He was the most effective evangelist in his time throughout the South. And behind the platform of Brother Krim's tent was hung a banner with these words, "Prayer changes things." I want everyone who is listening to the sound of my voice today to know that prayer does change things. Do you believe it? Hear what the Word of God would say to your heart today. In Ephesians 3:20-21, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." In Matthew 21:12, we find Jesus in the temple. As he threw the money changers out, he declared, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." The church is to be a place where the sweet aroma of the prayers of God's people fills the air. When the church is not praying, it has become spiritually sick and polluted with the deception of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The church is not to be called a house of music. It's not to be called a house of preaching. You would think by walking into most of our churches today that the church is a place of self-indulgent. Someone has said that many of our so-called worship leaders are nothing more than a glorified Elvis impersonator. First and foremost, the church is to be a house of prayer. Paul writes to his son in the ministry, listen to the word of God today, in 1 Timothy 2:1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men."
Well, Dr. Randall, it's pretty hard to argue against the fact that prayer really is the most important thing that we are to engage in the body of Christ.
Again, Paul told Timothy that prayer should be first of all. All victory is won through prayer. I believe that it is in the prayer closet that the war against the powers of darkness is engaged and won. The prayers of the saints, get this, the prayers of the saints are so powerful and precious to our Lord that they are kept in bowls around the throne of God. That's right. Not our songs, not our sermons, not our money, not our buildings, not our programs. It is our prayers that are most precious to our Lord. We find that in Revelation 5:8. And may I say that I have on many occasions asked the Lord if I could offer up to him prayers that have been prayed before, not only from my heart, but also from the saints that have gone before us. Think about it. They're still there. Those prayers are in bowls around the throne of God, still alive, still there. And we too can ask the Lord if it's okay to offer those prayers, the prayers of our grandparents that prayed for our children, the prayers of our great-grandparents that loved the Lord and prayed for their descendants that were to come, the prayers of the saints of the church that prayed for the church for generations to come. All of those prayers are still there by the throne of heaven. Think about it. We can ask the Lord if we can offer those up to Him, even as we pray. In the record of the early church, we find in Acts 2, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The church cannot pray too much when it comes to cleansing and revival. Jonathan Edwards said, "Much prayer, much revival, little prayer, little revival." Praying is not getting God's attention. We have His undivided attention through our union with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Praying is getting our hearts and our lives in tune with God. Praying in a real sense is getting our attention. So when our Lord speaks to us, we will be ready to hear Him and to obey. Prayer is as much listening to our Lord as it is talking to Him. Christian historian Dr. A.T. Pearson has said, "There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locally that did not begin in united prayer." Let me share with you today two examples out of history where great revival came as a result of great prayer. The first was in the wake of the American Revolution. Not many people realize during that time there was a moral slump. Drunkenness became epidemic. Out of a population of 5 million, 300,000 were confirmed drunkards. 15,000 of them were being buried each year. Profanity was of the most shocking kind. For the first time in the history of the American settlement, women were afraid to go out at night for fear of assault. Bank robberies were a daily occurrence. The Baptist of that day said that they were going through their most wintry season. Each major denomination was in a period of serious decline. The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Marshall, wrote to the Bishop of Virginia, James Madison, and I quote, that the church was too far gone ever to be redeemed. Voltaire agreed, and Tom Paine echoed, "Christianity will be forgotten in 30 years. Likewise, the colleges of that time were in a great spiritual vacuum. A poll taken at Harvard had discovered not one believer in the whole of the student body. They took a poll at Princeton, which was a much more evangelical place, and it was discovered in all the student body that there were only 2 believers, and only 5 did not belong to the filthy speech movement of that day. Students rioted during that time. They held a mock communion at Williams College, and they put on anti-Christian plays at Dartmouth. They took a Bible out of the local church in New Jersey, and they burned it in a public bonfire. Christians were so few on campus in the 1790s that they met in secret like a communist cell and kept their minutes in code so that no one would know."
Wow. We think today is spiritually dark. We've been through all this before.
Well, and of course, it is, Kevin. Sin is the same from generation to generation. There is always the curse of death, the death of families, the death of lives, the death of communities, and the death of nations because of sins. The battle with sin and its supernatural consequences is the struggle of every generation. Of that time, Kenneth Scott Latourette, the great church historian, wrote, "It seemed as if Christianity were about to be ushered out of the affairs of men. The churches had their backs to the wall, seeming as if they were about to be wiped out. How did the situation change? It came through a concert of prayer." In New England, there was a great theologian by the name of Jonathan Edwards, who received a little memorial book by a minister in Edinburgh, Scotland, named John Erskine. Edwards was so moved by the appeal of Erskine for the people of God to pray for revival that the New England preacher wrote a response. It finally was published as a little book. I want everybody today to notice the title of this book. It's a long title, but it's powerful. It is a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of all God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival in religion and the advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth, pursuant to Scripture promises and prophecies concerning the last time. Notice, long title, but don't miss its message. A humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for a revival of religion and extension of God's kingdom. Is not this what is missing so much from our churches and evangelistic efforts today? Explicit agreement, visible union, an unusual and extraordinary prayer? This movement had started in Britain through William Carey, Andrew Fuller, John Sutcliffe, and other leaders who began what the British called the Union of Prayer. Hence, the year after John Wesley died, the Second Great Awakening began and swept Great Britain. Out of the Second Great Awakening, notice this, came the whole modern missionary movement and its societies. Out of it came the abolition of slavery, popular education as we know it today, Bible societies and Sunday schools, and many social benefits accompanying the evangelistic drive. For the sake of this presentation, I mention one more example of a great revival in 1858 as the result of great prayer. In 1904, an evangelist by the name of Seth Joshua had come to Newcastle Inland College where Evan Roberts was studying for the ministry. Evan Roberts, then 26 years old, had been a coal miner. The students were so moved that they asked if they could attend his next campaign nearby. So they canceled classes to go where Seth Joshua prayed publicly, "O God, bend us." Evan Roberts went forward where he prayed with great agony, "O God, bend me." And upon his return, he could not concentrate on his studies. He went to the principal of his college and explained, "I keep hearing a voice that tells me I must go home to speak to our young people in my home church." God moved in such power that it is here where the birth of the Welsh revival came at the turn of the century. In 5 months, Kevin, think of this, in 5 months there were 100,000 conversions throughout all the country. It all began in a time that a man humbled himself and sought the Lord in prayer.
Dr. Randall, we just cannot miss this. Prayer really is the key to change our world.
All of church history reveals that cleansing and revival always begins in prayer. Without a movement of prayer, there is no movement of God. It is the testimony of time that all great revivals began with great prayer. Any revival effort, any cleansing effort, whether corporate or individual, must be baptized in prayer. A crusade, a prayer meeting, a revival meeting, a church meeting of any kind, our own time of prayer cannot have too much prayer. For the people of God to experience genuine cleansing and revival, they must go to the source of all revival, our Heavenly Father. He is more concerned about us having a time of personal cleansing and refreshing than any of us could ever be.
Dr. Randall, we have run out of time, and I think this is a really good point for us to ask you to pray for us. You've stressed the importance of prayer. We need revival individually and collectively. We need refreshing. And so let's take a moment now and have you pray for us.
You know, as important as the Bible study is, without the breath of the Spirit of God upon it, we're really not getting anywhere. So I want us to pray. Make an altar right where you are. You know, it is the Lord we need. It's not just knowledge. It's not just theology. It's not just communication with other believers through the church. You know, it's the Lord we need. And so let's turn to Him right now. Everything you need, the very needs of your heart in this moment, are met in Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Would you turn to Him? Through this wonderful covenant that He's made with us through His blood. Lord Jesus, thank You for the sweet privilege that is ours today to know that You love us and that You care for us and that everything we need, even those things we don't even know how to ask for, we're not even sure we need them. Lord, everything we need is in Your hand. May the Holy Spirit of God come now and intercede for us with those words that we don't even know how to express. Lord, I pray those that need Christ Jesus as Savior, would You come? Would You give them a heart toward You? Would You give them the courage to turn from their sin right now and turn to You? You've told us in Your Word that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Lord, give us the courage to believe in You today, to trust You, to turn our hearts to You, to give our faith to You. Thank You for dying for our sin. Lord, help us receive You in this moment as our personal Savior and Lord. And Lord, I thank You for every need that we have is an opportunity for You to express Your greatness and Your goodness. Take us to that place right now where Jesus Christ is exalted above all. Remove every hindering spirit, every excuse, every lie, every almost truth. Lord, remove it now. May the angels of the Lord attend and minister in this time as we pray. Lord, our country needs You because our churches need You. The family of God has done so much today without the provision of heaven. Forgive us. Lord, I ask that You would turn our hearts toward You. Take us to the place where Christ is exalted above all. Do the greatest work in our lives for Your greatest glory. In Jesus Christ's mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed with us today, we'd love to hear from you. Would you contact us on our website? You can give us your prayer requests. Share with us those names of those that you are burdened for today, that you're praying for. TheInvisibleWar.org. That's TheInvisibleWar.org. Or you can contact us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. We do so look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Rob. And remember, it is through your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you and to the many hurting and wounded among us. If you've been blessed by this program, would you give us as generous a gift as our Lord would lead you to give? You can make your investment into this ministry by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or call us toll-free, 877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. If you don't have access to a computer, you can send your letters and support to Rob Randall Evangelistic Ministries, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. That's P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. We look forward to hearing from you. Please do it today. We have heard from so many of you over the last several months of how this program has ministered to your life. You have heard the incredible teaching on spiritual warfare from Dr. Randall, as well as many personal testimonies from very special guests. But we want to hear from many more of you. We would love to hear how God has transformed your life and how you have faced the enemy with boldness to conquer his destructive schemes. We want to share some of these stories of victory by reading some of them on the air, or even the possibility of having you join us as a very special guest in an upcoming broadcast. Your story may be exactly what other listeners need to hear to turn the corner and begin to apply the same valuable principles that Rob shares on a regular basis. Write your story and send it to us by email at askrob@theinvisiblewar.org. Once again, the email address is askrob@theinvisiblewar.org. Or you can send your letters to The Invisible War, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. You can also go to our website at theinvisiblewar.org and go to the Contact Us section and find an option that works best for you to send it to us. Your story of healing and victory may be just the exact message others need to hear to find the same victory in their lives. We'll be looking forward to including these incredible stories in future programs, so email us today with yours. That's askrob@theinvisiblewar.org.
Thank you so much for listening today. We look forward to our broadcast next week as we continue to study the Word of God concerning these eternal matters in the invisible war.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.